Dr. Greenberg, I understand that you were initially skeptical, reluctant to try this. Tell us about why and what won you over.
It might be because of my age. You know, I'm a little older, and you know, didn't have a computer until graduate school, so that could be part of it. But I was definitely a slow adopter to video therapy. I was convinced that it wouldn't be as effective. I was worried about missing verbal cues or nonverbal cues, and I was worried about just seeing, you know, mainly somebody's head on a computer screen.
What changed your mind?
Well, on March 16th, I didn't have a choice anymore. And so I was holding out. I had a lot of colleagues who had switched, you know, they were starting to switch over to video therapy because they interpreted the data a little bit better than I did. So when there wasn't a choice anymore, I switched everybody over. And I found it to be just a very surprising and pleasurable experience. In fact, most of my clients love it. They love the convenience of it. They feel like it's just as effective. I feel like it's just as effective. In fact, I think for some people, it's even more effective because there's a little bit of less pressure since they're not in the same room with me, so they can talk about some more sensitive topics.
You mentioned nonverbal cues. I imagine you must have to work a little harder to make sure that you're staying on top of those via video when you don't have the ability to look across a table at somebody on a couch across from you.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Myself and most of my colleagues, we find ourselves more tired. And I don't think it's just from, you know, the Zoom fatigue that everybody talks about. It is harder. You have to, you know, fortunately, I know a lot of my clients really well and have known them a long time. But when I see somebody new, I have to learn, you know, different ways to pick up on distress. And it is more difficult. It takes I have to focus more. I have to concentrate more. I have to listen in a different way.
Interesting. Do you have any idea when it is safe to have face-to-face meetings in office? How many of your clients will want to stay doing it online?
I'm guessing right now about 70% will want to continue to stay with online.
Did I read that some exceptions have been made? I don't know if that was through Medicare or other regulators to allow for some of this to happen without some of the red tape that might otherwise happen with teletherapy?
Yes, actually, that's exactly correct. While some insurance companies did prescribe reimbursement for telehealth before, what the American Psychological Association and the California Psychological Association worked to accomplish was to get telehealth reimbursed by all private plans during the pandemic and to have it reimbursed at the same level as in-person services.
So you think that's going to continue after the pandemic's over?
Well, the APA and the CPA are legislating bodies. They're working really hard to make that a permanent fix because, of course, it is more convenient for people. And also, as long as you're practicing within the legal, you know, boundaries, meaning I can only see clients via telehealth in the state of California, but California is really big, right? And it allows me and my colleagues to reach people in rural areas, people who might not have access to a car to drive for therapy. Maybe somebody lives 2 or 3 hours away, that kind of thing. So it has major public health implications as well.
Well, Dr. Greenberg, we certainly thank you for your time today. That's Dr. Tamara McClintock-Greenberg, a San Francisco-based psychologist.